Well, welcome to the Councilcast. This is episode 162, being recorded on March 30th, 2021. The council is now in session with a much smaller crew than usual, but just like every week, we'll make arbitrary decisions about topics on science, technology, and random shit.
Random shit?
With little
it
background.
Feels weird. It doesn't feel the same.
No. It doesn't have that, you know.
It doesn't
pop. Panache. I don't know. It doesn't pop. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, close. This week, all council cast decisions are final and have no bearing on anything whatsoever, just as usual. So we'll start off, and we'll have to start with these rabbits. And I'd say you got to give these guys a hand. I mean, really, a hand stand, if you want to call it that.
I don't.
All right. You don't have to then.
That's pretty crazy. Well, the rabbits actually, if they're in the video in there, they actually walk on their front paws.
Yeah, so these apparently are mutant rabbits that will walk on two legs. And it's not the two legs you would think. They actually walk on their front two legs.
So this is crazy.
What?
It's like they're doing headstands or handstands while they walk.
Walking handstands.
I tried to read the article about why they do this, and it seems to be like a genetic abnormality thing, but I just don't understand why.
Okay, now you've piqued my interest. Now I have to actually go look at this.
Well, and the other interesting thing is that they become blind. They have some sort of vision issue. So they're walking on their front paws, and they can't see.
Well, so when I initially read the article, I thought
that rabbit's
that
on his front feet.
I thought that was why they walked on their hands, so that like their eyes were closer to the ground. So as they lost their vision, they could still see where they were going.
Oh.
But then I was like, I don't understand. Then I got confused. Because then it started talking
cool.
about jumping rabbits, except for the fact that these rabbits don't jump.
Well, not very far on their front feet.
They now know why. So, wait, did you already say why and I just wasn't paying attention?
No. I have
some genetic.
Genetics, that's all I know.
It's something about their chromosomes.
So it gives it away completely in the title then. These mutant rabbits walk on two legs and geneticists now know why. Genetics. Great article. So why did they try to make these types of rabbits?
I think they just happened.
This just happened.
They had a goal. But like,
no.
They had a goal.
I think
somebody had a goal in mind.
I think they just did that, and finally scientists figured out why. Or at least they figured out why.
There was a genetic mutation. How old is this breed of rabbit?
Oh, here they go. They're talking about how the back legs, it causes their back legs to not work. So that's
they just
why
adapt.
They walk on their front. Yeah. So when they have a weird genetic mutation and their back legs don't work, then those types of bunnies have apparently learned to walk on their front feet. That's weird.
Of course.
That sounds more like adaptability than it is a genetic disorder.
The genetic disorder causes them to be able to do this and adapt. Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, does that mean it's what's it called? What is it called?
Survival of the fittest.
Darwinism?
That's stupidity.
Oh. Well, you know, I give these rabbits a thumbs up for being, you know, adaptable. But I give the geneticists a thumbs down for coming up with the reason of genetics as the reason why these rabbits are doing their thing. I feel like I want a little bit more detail than that.
You know, well, maybe there'll be a follow-up interview with one of the rabbits and they'll explain it fully.
There you go. You know, they probably can't because they're French rabbits and I don't speak French rabbit, so
Oh, je suis un ananas.
Yeah.
I'm a pineapple.
Yeah, I do give this one a thumbs down, mainly because the geneticists are trying to claim that they found something that caused them to walk on two legs, when in reality it's they really found something that just caused them not to be able to use their back legs.
I agree.
Blaine, here's a question for you. How do you catch a unique rabbit?
You don't.
Unique up on it. How do you catch a tame rabbit?
I know.
I don't know.
The tame way.
Unique up on it. Oh, man. That's some good dad jokes happening on this Council Cast episode.
There you go.
Well, next topic.
You know, something that you don't need a dad joke for is
the transition. Next topic.
Gas. Which hopefully you're not passing gas as fast as Jupiter's stratosphere.
Ayo.
Which is apparently over 900 miles per hour.
Wow.
What if you could
shoot Jupiter looks like a giant marble.
You know, Matt's not here tonight to help me understand this, but I think I get that 900 miles an hour is fast.
That is pretty fast. Just imagine if you could fart at 900 miles an hour.
Just imagine. Wait. Let me imagine that. Wow. Just imagine.
Fantastic.
You said it like it was a. Just imagine if you could do that. Like it's the greatest trick in the world. Just imagine if you could.
Just imagine if you could inhale and fart at 900 miles per hour.
Hold your breath for a year or fart at 900 miles an hour.
Would you rather?
Would you rather?
So why did they figure this out?
Apparently some scientists.
Not how. I'm less concerned with the how and why.
Well, that's what I was going to answer for you. So the answer is some scientists wanted they want the why is so they knew how fast they had to fart to be able to pass gas on Jupiter.
That's a Final Jeopardy thing. They just wanted to have another category.
Yes. I honestly don't know. I guess maybe one of the reasons why they wanted to know is so that we could eventually land there on a gas giant. I have no idea.
Landing there seems nearly impossible given our technological disadvantages.
I can't even get my Wi-Fi to work
right most of the time. How are we going to land a thing? What is it? Millions of miles away on a planet made of gas that's traveling at 900 miles per hour.
Mm. Well, maybe somebody will figure it out.
This seems like one for Elon.
They're going to ask, how do I land something in 900 mile an hour winds? And then we're going to say, now we know how.
Maybe. Now we know how.
Very carefully.
Yes.
I tried to type in a search to see what other things went 900 miles an hour, but when I typed 900 miles an hour, all that came up was five or six articles about how Jupiter's winds are 900 miles an hour. So.
900 miles per hour is 1,448 kilometers per hour.
Wow. There's a fact.
Yeah. Well, that's cool that they, figured that out, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. It's cool. It is kind of cool how they figured it out, or at least how they think they figured it out. But why
again? A bunch of juice.
Let's see.
I don't know. You know, I guess maybe in 100 years we'll find out why we needed to do this.
Yeah.
Maybe scientists just wanted to find a hard thing to try and do.
Yeah.
They were bored one day.
So did they just like watch one of the swirls and count and measure and divide?
They said that there was a asteroid or a comet that hit Jupiter, and it had certain elements.
The ripples.
Well, there were certain elements, and the elements are caught in the atmosphere now, so the elements are moving.
So they were able to track those
and come up with a miles per hour.
Yep. Wow. Hmm. Yeah. You know, I guess thumbs up for doing something that nobody thought we needed.
Hmm. Two thumbs up for space.
Two thumbs up for space.
There it is.
Something that you can't control with your brain is the winds on Jupiter, but maybe Facebook could let you control objects with your mind.
What?
With their new futuristic AR control. although maybe Facebook just wants to control your mind, not allow your mind to control other things.
100%.
I'm pretty sure that must be it. But yeah, Facebook is apparently showing off and teasing some augmented reality technology, which features a wrist-based wearable that you can control with your mind.
They haven't quite proven that. They've just said it could even be used with just by thinking, but they didn't say how.
Basically, they have like this little watch wrist thing, and they're like, hey, look at this thing. You can kind of do things in AR, and it like has some sort of feedback device, so it feels like you're touching objects and things like that. And they're like, oh, and then, you know, maybe you can control this with your mind in the future.
Yeah, that's like saying, look at this amazing new car, and maybe someday it'll fly.
Yeah, exactly.
I want that to be the
maybe it'll be a submarine part. Too.
Our plan in the future, in an undetermined time in the future.
In an undetermined time in the future.
Cars will be a transformer.
They'll be transformers. It could be a park bench. It could be a car. I don't know. This one just seems a little silly.
Yeah,
I don't know. I
think that Facebook just wants to control your brain. I think that's really what they're after here. They're probably like, hey, if we implant this thing in your mind, we now own your brain.
Now, does Facebook...
Futurama, when they have the iPhones and they implant them in your eyeball.
Yeah.
Does Facebook do any other technology stuff? I mean, are they branching out in a big way?
I think they're pretty heavy into this AR and AI type of stuff. So trying to come up with, honestly, I think they're probably trying to figure out how can we make people interact digitally on Facebook without actually visiting them in person. Mm. It's kind of my guess. It's kind of like, you guys remember Second Life? I think that's what it was called. That was like supposed to be this whole online thing where you had an avatar, you could kind of live with other people in a digital space all online. I think Facebook's just trying to recreate that.
Yeah, or I think they're maybe like go back even a little bit farther to like when people would hang out with each other.
What? Did that actually happen?
People face
together
to face.
In the same room without masks on? Mass hysteria? Wow.
Cats and dogs living together. Yeah.
People closer crazy. Than 6 feet without a mask?
I like the use of augmented reality for certain things. Do I want Facebook to be the company that makes that? Not really. I haven't really been impressed with most of their inventions as I message out this CouncilCast episode to all my friends on Facebook. But I think that augmented reality is something of the future that has a lot of positive opportunities.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Eric wants people to wants them to bring back MySpace.
MySpace still exists, Eric. Just go search it on the internet right now.
I thought it shut down.
I just don't. I'm pretty sure that. That Facebook would not use this for anything other than a way to sell more coffee or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the big caveat here is I just don't see how I mean, first of all, I just don't see this as a Facebook thing. Like, I like AR,
exactly.
And I think there's a lot of good uses there. It's just, how does Facebook fit into this whole thing? Like, what are they trying to do with it? And I think, to your point, though, it's like, they're just trying to think of, how can we sell more ads? Like, how can we get more people's privacy, more information, and all that stuff? And it's like, I don't know if I like that idea.
Your wristband read your mind and told you that you need to go to the store and buy more coffee. I mean, that's just, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was in my brain, but the wristband told me, so now I better go do it.
The other day, Kayla and I were talking about something. I can't remember what it was exactly, but it was kind of like, it was a story about a baby or somebody's baby or a kid or something. And Kayla was telling the story, and when she got done, Alexa popped up and said, "That was a very cute story."
Oh, that's weird.
And I was like, "You're not this close to being completely unplugged forever, Alexa. You better watch yourself."
Did you tell Alexa that?
I did. Alexa did not say anything after that. And
oh, but no.
That's how it should be.
I agree, Blaine. I like the idea of the technology, but I just don't get how Facebook's involved. So I'm going to say thumbs down.
Mm-hmm. Thumbs down.
Thumbs down. Yeah, you know, something that is kind of the opposite end of augmented reality is riding your bicycle. And what would it mean to you if you didn't ever have to worry about flat tires again?
Hmm. It wouldn't mean anything to me.
it'd be really incredible. The question I'm going to jump right to is, do they think they could make this technology accessible on car tires?
That might be a bit of a stretch, I'm afraid. But what we are talking about is an invention created for NASA. But these are actually titanium-based metal tires. And the way that they kind of work is it looks like they've kind of got this smart alloy is what they call it, made from titanium and some other metal, nickel. And apparently it remembers its shape, so kind of like a spring, it creates a little give in the metal that maintains its shape and without fatiguing and stressing itself and breaking, basically. They kind of created this tire, this material, and it goes on a tire on a bicycle. It's kind of the first commercial application for it, but NASA uses it for wheels on like rovers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I like how it says, and it's pretty slick, so be careful. You're going to be on a metal bicycle with tires that weigh 40 pounds, and it's going to be slick.
Well, you know, that was the first thing I thought of when I read this article. I was like, God, metal tires? Like, that doesn't sound like a good thing. Like, how are you going to get grip? But apparently they actually are coating them with, like, a rubber on the top of it. So instead of having to pump up your tires, I guess eventually you would have to get your tires recoated in rubber. I don't know. Maybe you can just get, like, that Plasti-Dip stuff and just paint that over it.
Just spray it on there. And for those who are actually listening tonight, MySpace still exists.
Thank you.
Yes. I just joined for the first time. I'm happy to say I'm a MySpace member now. I have a new social media account, so please join my MySpace page.
Share your favorite songs with me. Don't worry, they might get deleted.
My name on MySpace is Bunny Candy.
Bunny Front Paws.
Bunny Front Paws. Candy Chop. I don't know. I just made it up really quick, so I don't remember. But.
Bunny Front Paws.
Bunny Front Paws.
Yeah, this I like that they're doing new things because NASA, you know, is getting totally eclipsed by
SpaceX,
Elon Musk's rocket company, the big rocket company. Is that what his company is called? I always forget.
Yes, it is.
Big rocket.
Acme. But I'm curious, did they just put it on bicycles because they were like, hey, we need to make some more money.
Well,
and, you know, Tang is really out of style now, so let's try and sell bicycles.
I don't know why they did that. Maybe the article says, but I got to imagine it's safer to stick that on one bicycle with one person than on a car. I'm sure the application to a car is where they want to head at some point.
Yeah, I probably. You know, the only problem, though, is, and they mentioned this in the article, is that these are, I mean, it's still a metal tire. Like, it is definitely heavier than a rubber tire. And so I just don't, honestly, unless they can make this extra light, I don't see them converting this onto cars. It's just going to be way too heavy. Because it would
just destroy gas mileage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or no, it would do to roads.
You know, you wouldn't ever have to put chains on.
Or maybe you would because of the plastic being slick.
Yeah, you'd have to have that plastic dip stuff.
Yeah.
Every time. I'm going to say thumbs down. I mean, I don't want to because it's kind of cool, but still, it seems kind of pointless.
You know, I like the idea of airless tires yet, and I do think that this is in a generally good direction, but I just don't see the benefits yet, and I'm afraid that these tires are going to be ridiculously expensive, so I'm going to have to say thumbs down.
Yeah, I bet you they are.
I'm going to give it a thumbs up for controversy.
Good thing all decisions are final.
Absolutely.
Good thing.
Good thing.
No backsies.
Well, no backsies.
You know what isn't controversial is the fact that katanas make everything better, which is exactly why Lenovo has now made a gaming computer chair with its own katana holder.
What?
Just in case you ever need to pull out your sword when you're, you know, pissed off about losing to an online opponent and you just want to cut your monitor in half.
This is 100% necessary.
100% necessary.
Yeah, this is absolutely I don't know. Ridiculous.
Yes.
This is definitely in the random shit category for a reason. I love how the article is like 1.5 paragraphs long.
Well,
they put a holder for the katana in the chair. The end.
They did only make 5 of these chairs for a promotional giveaway in Japan, I guess. So it's not like you can really buy one, but it's kind of like,
oh, man.
I mean, honestly, the chair looks like it's just a normal chair. Why didn't they just make this as like an accessory you could attach to any chair?
Well, you know what? Why don't we just go make our own katana holder?
Yeah, there it looks like you could make it. It looks like you just strapped on.
It's not even
pretty lame. Like,
it looks like just a couple pieces of plastic and a little bit of leather.
Yeah.
So ridiculous. Like
they zip tied the
for that? Yeah,
like they zip tied the sword sheath to the chair. That was about the end of it.
Yeah, but there's a design element to it. They really put a lot of thought into this plastic.
Yeah.
Well, Eric says he thinks it would go great with his KFC gaming box.
And our Bud Light.
You could use the sword to cut up your chicken.
And our Bud Light projector.
And our Bud Light projector, yeah. That's it. That's the perfect combination.
That's the perfect
The sword chair with the Bud Light. We just need some sort of useless, ridiculous computer or something.
Only makes sense.
I love this. I'm saving this page. That way I can make my own since we can't buy it. Thumbs up. Great idea.
Yeah, I'm gonna
made it by a katana.
I'm gonna come up with our own. We'll have our own branded Council Cast katana holder coming out sometime next year.
Thumbs up.
You know, something that you don't need to use a knife on is cooked chicken. And if you ever thought that cooking chicken was too fast, you now know how many slaps it takes to cook a chicken.
Blaine, how many slaps does it take?
135,000.
I thought the punchline would be funny. 135,000. What's
how many slaps does it take to cook a chicken? To get across the road. I kept seeing this video pop up on YouTube. And it was like, how many slaps? And I was like, it's a 30-minute long video. I don't care that much.
Don't watch the whole video, no.
But you pull it to the end.
Yeah.
Look at the counter at the end.
The ending.
35,000 slaps.
So this guy apparently, I have no idea who thought this was a good idea, but
why is this? Somebody had to have said, there has to be like some running joke on the internet that somebody was like, oh, how many slaps would it take to cook a chicken? Or like something like a middle school joke that we aren't in on because we're not in middle school anymore.
Probably.
Or maybe some adults acting like middle schoolers drank too much beer and were trying to figure out how many times you have to slap a chicken for it to cook.
There's that possibility as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is pretty fantastic.
I honestly didn't think that slapping a chicken would raise its temperature that much. But, you know, if you do watch some of the videos, certainly don't watch all 30 minutes of it. It's not worth it.
It's pretty repetitive.
It is very repetitive. About 135,000
times. 135,000 times repetitive.
But he does talk a little bit about how he had, you know, some of the challenges was just how long, like 135,000 slaps doesn't happen in a short amount of time. And so to keep the heat in the chicken, he actually had to wrap it in aerogel so that it could actually keep it insulated and retain the heat from the slapping over time.
That just seems ridiculously, moronically complicated.
And it certainly tenderizes your chicken if that's what you're going to
tenderizes your chicken.
How long did it take?
I can't remember. I thought it was like, I mean, it was like, I thought over a course
90
of,
minutes? Wait.
Yeah. He said all it took was a half a dozen hours and 135,000 slaps.
6 hours?
Yeah, it sounds like it took 6 hours to cook it.
6 hours to cook the chicken with 135,000 slaps.
If it was like
put that in your recipe.
Chicken, though, like I feel like you could make a machine that slaps a chicken that you could sell to high-end restaurants. Like it'd be an expensive machine. You know, like now, like a sous vide like for cook.
You want an original recipe or
slapped.
Slapped.
Extra crispy or slapped?
Extra crispy.
Oh, I love a slapped chicken, please.
Or slapped.
Because if it's tenderizing and it's heating it up simultaneously, you're really breaking that meat down. It could just like be soup. Like you fill a bag with some.
Yeah,
you
drink it through stuff. A straw.
It'd be so. I'd eat that. You know what? I'd eat a slapped chicken.
You know, the best
I'm
going
to go on the record to say two thumbs up. I'd eat a slapped chicken.
I hope that if you do that, you know, you certainly have a better packaging than this guy because apparently it broke the container and mixed fiberglass and aerogel into the meat. So
gross.
Secret sauce.
Secret sauce.
Kinetic energy.
Kinetic energy.
Watching the video, he has like this little diagram of slapping and then kinetic energy is bouncing around it.
You know,
cooked the chicken by slapping it.
I'm definitely not going to eat this chicken, so thumbs down.
Well, once he gets the kinks worked out.
That just sounds like a mess waiting to happen.
It is a mess. It was a complete mess.
All right. Well, I think with that, we're going to go ahead and move on to our Elon Musk pitches for the week. Anybody have a pitch they want to pitch Mr. Musk?
Yes.
I think he should make a beef slapping cook machine.
It's a great idea. What would you call that?
The beat my meat machine.
I think he just came up with a title for this week.
Beef cooking machine using slaps.
I like that. You know what? I would love a beat my meat opportunity to enjoy with you sometime. So hopefully he invents that.
That would be awesome. I'd be more than happy to have you over to beat my meat.
Oh my God.
You can eat my meat straight from my beater.
Great, thank you. Oh, good.
All right.
Perfect. I had this idea the other day. I want Elon to make a system that he puts I don't know if they're springs or if they're, I don't know if it is something to do with the kinetic energy, and it collects heat as foot traffic happens over sidewalks. And then it can build up energy, and that energy can go back into the grid. And so basically people walking around will power the cities that they're walking in.
Wow. That's a great idea. I'm surprised he hasn't come up with that already.
Thanks. I've pitched it twice on this show, and we actually talked about it in an article a long time ago.
I was going to say, I remember talking about this, and so I can't believe he hasn't made it yet as well.
I know.
He needs to pay attention. We're spoon-feeding him some of the best ideas on the planet.
I know it's like cheating to pitch the same idea twice, but sometimes you just got to resend that email, bring it to the top of their queue. Maybe they'll get back to it. So.
I'll send it to you on Sunday night, so it's at the top of your inbox Monday morning.
Perfect. That's exactly what I'm saying here.
Thumbs up. That's a great idea.
Sure. Why not? I don't mind double pitching.
You gave it a thumbs down last time, but I appreciate the encouragement this time. So actually, I don't remember. I don't even give what thumbs up on what.
I'm thumbs upping your commitment to it.
Thank you. There's no way for us to go figure it out either, because I have no idea when I pitched that. Actually, we can find it. In the notes.
In the transcript, the manuscripts from the each session.
The very detailed transcripts that we have, yes.
2/12/2019 is the last time I pitched this, so it's over a year ago.
It's
time to repitch.
You mean like over 2 years ago?
That was episode 68.
Wow.
That was over 2 years. That was 2 years ago. It feels like
that generate power. Yep, there you go. Perfect.
That's incredible.
Think how far along he'd be if he had just taken your idea the first time.
2 years ago. Yeah, he'd probably be past prototypes by now. He'd probably be putting it in cities, big cities all across America.
He would have set it up a couple times.
Yeah, because you came up with the idea, he would have set it up at your house so that as you walk around, you.
Ooh, I'm going to one-up this, not just when people are walking, but I want it in the roads so that as cars drive over the roads, we're collecting energy. There
you go.
That way he can make money off of it, more money off of his Teslas.
You know, if you could have it built into the road and then the road has inductive chargers to charge your car, I think you can just get free energy.
You could yes, exactly. Just like the battery that charges it. You have two batteries in the Tesla, okay? Follow me on this. One battery charges the other while it's gaining energy from the wheels spinning.
On the special road. Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yep. That's great.
Perfect. Right. Well, we solved the energy crisis.
Perfect.
Renewable energy.
All right, Brian, you got a pitch for us tonight?
Yeah, I'd like Elon Musk to come up with free internet for everyone on the planet based on a series of satellites deposited around the Earth.
Did you pitch this one like 2 weeks ago?
Oh, did I pitch this 2 weeks ago? Oh, is this the one where he's already done it? Oh, dang it. Okay, never mind. I'll think of something new.
You haven't
next
had
time.
One in a couple weeks. Say here.
Satellites get talked about a lot on this show.
158, satellite internet that won't go down due to storms, beams it down to the individual devices.
Rub it in, Blaine. Just tell everyone to the great details that I just shared again.
Well, you pitched a bunch of satellites that combine themselves to create the Voyager. space laser face mask that fry all particles coming out of your mouth shot out of a Starlink satellite. You have a lot of pictures for satellites, Blaine.
It probably doesn't want me to add to it. So I'm going to retract
you know what?
I'll take it back,
actually.
Blaine's ideas.
I don't think you've ever pitched free internet. So I will okay. I will give you that one. Free internet from everyone based on satellite.
Free internet. Free. That horribly obnoxious commercial. Free.
Logan pitched that satellites be shaped like Nintendo 64 boobs.
That's right.
And I pitched that all the satellites have escape pods that can send pictures and videos back to Earth. So it'd be like a flash drive. I don't know why, but, you know, just in case you need those. You had another one about satellites. Manufacture things in space and then deliver via satellite with magnetic landing pad. Oh, man, we love satellites.
I don't understand why he hasn't done anything with satellites yet.
He hasn't done a single thing with satellites.
Zero satellite things done.
Perfect.
Yeah, good. Well, thumbs up. Thumbs up for that.
Yeah, I like free
internet.
Free. Yep. All right. I think with that, we're going to go ahead and call this council meeting adjourned. We thank you all for listening. We do record this podcast live Tuesday nights on YouTube. And if you liked what you saw and want to check out all of our past episodes, you can go to councilcast.org. You can also find us on iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. And if you have a topic you would like the council's decision on, you can email us at idontcare@councilcast.org or connect with us on Twitter @RealCouncilCast. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye.